just a little more.
That's right.
I was talking last night. I was speaking to my wife and my brother-in-law. I'd ask her to come over and stay tonight and help him sing a special song. Of course, her favorite preacher, Steve Dagenhart, says he didn't have to twist her arm too much. And I asked Hannah, my oldest girl, I said, "Now, who's your favorite preacher?" She said, "Preacher Rick." And I don't know about Rick Seifert. I wised up after a couple. I looked at Abigail, and I didn't ask her. I just said, "Your daddy's favorite person to preach to is you, Abigail." And tried to turn that around as best we can. I've lost two. Got two more to aim for. So you pray for us this morning as we try to preach the Word of God. Turn it in your Bibles to 2 Samuel. Chapter number 10. Say, while you're turning, I want to thank the church and all the ladies, all the food that's been provided. It's been a great blessing. And how you've catered to every need. And hadn't had to look for anything. I started to look for silverware. It was already on the table, everything. I mean, they picked the black seeds out of the watermelon for you and everything over here. I don't know how much better you can get than that. But I appreciate all the hard work that's been done. We're certainly appreciative of it. I invite you to stand with us just for a moment this morning, if you're able and willing, in reverence to the reading of the Holy Word of God. 2 Samuel chapter number 10. Let's look together in verse number 1. "And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanan his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanan, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of the servants for his father. David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon, and the princes of the children of Ammon said to Hanan, their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David's father sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanan took David's servant and shaved off one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to the buttocks, and sent them away. When they told it unto David, he sent and met them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown, and then return." If correctly read, that's reading our text this morning. You can be seated. For sake of time, I'll not read the rest of the chapter, but know that David's kingdom and Ammon are going to go to war. They're going to go to war over how their messengers were treated, how they were shamed. And we won't look at chapter number 10, and we're going to trace back one chapter to a more familiar chapter in chapter 9, the story of Mephibosheth. Well, I'll have that chapter all marked up. Chapter 10 may just be a passing thought. But the two chapters go together. They're connected in the first verses of each chapter. In chapter number 9, in verse number 1, Mephibosheth's father is gone. His father has died. And as a result, the Bible said in verse number 1 of chapter 9, "And David said, is there yet any left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" He's sending an act of kindness at a time when a daddy has died. Same thing's going on in chapter number 10. In chapter number 10 in verse number 2, "Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanan." He has the same response. He's sending servants to fetch them and to seek a way to comfort them in their hour of need. But what I'm interested in is in the story of Mephibosheth, when the message of the king is accepted and the comfort is allowed to be given, there is peace, there is joy, and there is happiness. But in chapter number 10, the king does the exact same thing. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God done yesterday, He'll do today. The exact same word for word has taken place in chapter 10, verse 2. He's showing kindness. He's sending servants. But the result will not be peace. It will not be joy and love. The end result is going to be war and death. So I'm interested in what the difference is. What would cause one to go to war with God? And what would one to have the peace with God? What's the difference? What's the cause that's taking place? Now certainly there's something different that's went on. Certainly we could look at the two passages and we could come to this thought and understanding there's clearly been a misunderstanding of what the king was trying to communicate. We can clearly understand that we can be at war with God or we can be at peace with God. And it's not on God's end. God's going to do the same thing for every soul, for every church, for everyone that comes and gathers in His name. So whether we're at war with God or whether we have peace with God is on our end. It's based on our response to the message from the king. And certainly I'm interested in having peace with God. He's not one you want to go to war with. We won't look at that for just a minute. I won't preach on, if the Lord would help me, on the dangers of misinterpretation. The dangers of misinterpretation. Now, we want to interpret this thing right. We want it to be rightly divided so that we have no excuses to see what's going on in the text. And it's dangerous to misinterpret what God is saying. If you misinterpret what God's saying, you'll read something pulled out of a trash can instead of something that was laid in the lap of the church. If you have a misinterpretation in your life, you'll think somewhere along the line that this thing was just happened to be. You'll not understand that it was God that created it all. It was God that began it in the beginning. It was God who separated B.C. From A.D. with His death. It was God. Don't misinterpret what God has said and what God is doing. I thought that I could get to heaven from being a good moral man, helping those in the community, I'd join the Freemasons. That ain't how a man gets into heaven. If I believed tonight that I could be saved by baptism, I'd jump in the Atlantic and not come out. But don't misinterpret what God has said. If a man's going to heaven, it's by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's the only way. But we're living in a world that has misinterpreted what God has said. There's a vast danger in misinterpreting. Preachers, don't misinterpret. You need that church just as much as they need you. And that's a fact tonight. We need help from God in the local assembly just as much as anyone else. If I had a question about my nature and what God gave me, I'd better not misinterpret that, or my lifestyle would be an abomination in the eyes of God. I don't want to misinterpret what God has said, what God has made, and what God is doing. There's a danger in that that will always lead to death. Put a twist on a spiritual message, you'll think that Christ was talking about destroying His body and out of the temple, in 3 days He's going to build the temple back. He's talking about His body dying and He resurrecting victorious over death. Don't misinterpret what God is saying. But the world in the Bible, it's full of those that misinterpret it every day. Don't misinterpret what the church is all about. It's not about Baal. It's about the Bible. Say amen right there. It's not about parties and potluck lunches. It's about preaching and praying. It's not about seeing how many we can get. It's about seeing how close we can get. Don't misinterpret what God has said in His Word. The difference tonight will, or this morning will be war and peace in our life. Something going on in the life of Hanan. We won't pay close attention to what's taking place. Upon hearing the king's message, as a result of these two chapters, you and I will all do one of two things. We'll either come as a humble servant, be fed at the king's table, rejoicing in the peace and the joy and the life that He's blessed us with, or we'll decline the message, spurn the invitation, and we'll be in a battle that will lead to our spiritual death with no peace, no joy, no abundant life. But the answer is simple. I mean, no dummy would say, and say, I won't go to war with a man with a God who made it all. Nobody would say that. So why does Hanan take this wrong advice? Well, some would decline the king, and they'd be in war forever. But instead, Hanan is going to accept the advice of counselors that have misinterpreted the actions of the king. He took the wrong advice. Look at verse number 3. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanan their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? The number one reason people get the wrong impression and misinterpret what God is saying is because they'll listen to others that don't have anything to do with the situation at hand. Every now and then I'll come across somebody, they'll say, you still got a mess over at St. John. I said, yeah, we're having a mess. I said, I've baptized, led to the Lord 21 in the last 4 years. We've done over $150,000 worth of building projects. Had a man called to preach. We've took on 2 new missionaries, and we're not giving them $5 a month so we can boast in how many we got. We're going to help them out if we're going to help them out. I said, we're in a mess. I wish somebody come help us. We got a preacher over there that don't know no better than just to stay in the Word. I said, Lord, we're in a mess, but they've got the wrong advice from the wrong counselors, and they misinterpret what God's doing. He said, I love the church. And he gave himself for it. I'm going to stay with the church. We're going to go with God. So why did Hanan take this wrong advice? Well, number one, he took the wrong advice because he was fragile. If we read in verses 1 through 3, as you've remembered, Hanan is in mourning because daddy's dead. And yesterday he is happy-go-lucky. There wasn't nothing going on in his life. He had no burdens, nothing to carry. Now daddy's gone. Now he's in line. He's got the burden of the nation of Ammon on his shoulders. That's a pressing weight. He's not just about him. Now he's about thousands that he's got to lead and take care of, make sure they get fed. Now he's got a burden pressing on him, and he's in a fragile state as he mourns his father's death. But I'll say some of the worst advice you'll ever get is when you're the lowest in life. When you're at a low place in your life, that's when all of the wrong counsel is going to come in. When Job lost his family, lost everything he owned, lost his health, then he's got these that come in sharing their advice. In his lowest place in his life, now he's got counselors coming in trying to share with him what's going on. They're going to misinterpret what God's doing. We're not careful, we'll do the same thing. God, why is all this happening to me? You listen to some crackpot on TV. You listen to someone at the workplace. They'll misinterpret what's going on in your life. That's between you and God. Don't get the wrong information from the wrong advisors. Hanan's having a hard time. Right when he's the weakest, the most hurt he's ever had, the most lost that he's ever felt, the most burden that he's ever carried, in that low place is when that wrong advice comes. That corrupt counsel always arises when you're the weakest, because that's when you're most apt to listen to it. Today, we'd be honest, we're all weak. But I'm glad to report in that he's strong. And if we'd trust in the King and the message from the King, we could have peace and joy and life abundant. He's just sharing with us that he's fragile. But secondly, Hanan took the wrong advice because he was fearful. They tell him in verses 3 that David's not sent help. He's not going to comfort you. Hanan, who are you? He's not going to comfort you. He's not come in to pay honor to thy father. He's come in to spy out this thing. He's come in to take over. Hanan's going to take heed to that advice. Now, it's human to hear bad counsel, but it's foolish to act on it. We're all going to hear bad counsel, but it's foolish to respond to it and to accept it in. Hanan's going to make the wrong move in his low, fragile estate. He's going to get scared, and he's going to take their advice and say, I've got to hang on to what little I got left. They're going to say, surely he's not coming for daddy's sake. They'll even throw in some scripture. Hanan, you're to honor thy father. Honor what he gave his life for. Honor what he protected. Fight him. Go to war. And he's going to take that advice from the wrong counselors that misinterpreted what the king was saying. Mephibosheth got it right. Humbly came to the king's table. Hanan's going to go to war. You know, people, when they're scared, they do some of the dumbest things. I was reading a thing about lifeguards. And lifeguards, you read any about them, you know that there's probably more lifeguards drowned than there are people that drown. You say, why ain't they trained to swim? Yeah. One of the first tactics they learn as a lifeguard is defensive tactics. You get out there over a man that's drowning, that's fragile, that's fearful, thinking their life is over. First thing they'll do is not reach out with loving arms and say, thank you for coming. Say, no, they're going to pull you under and drown you to get there in a panic. They're in a fright. They don't know which way to go. They're fragile and they're fearful. And when people are like that, they do dumb things. Right. Hanan's in this position and he does a dumb thing. One of the dumbest things you could do is to forget about God. That's what Peter done. He forgot all about God when he denied Christ. He was scared for his life there when he denied him three times. He was terrified. He was fragile. And he denied Christ. He done a foolish thing. Done a foolish thing. He forgot. Hanan forgot that his father and Saul had made a peace treaty. David said he was going to honor it. He forgot about chapter 9 and what had took place earlier in the life of Mephibosheth with the same word from the king. He forgot that he was no match for Israel because God fought for Israel. He forgot about God. He forgot about the biggest thing in his life, and it's dangerous. And when you get in a fragile place and get fearful and get in a panic and make life-changing decisions in a hurry, you'll forget about God and you'll mark him out. Oh, that's a dangerous position to be in. And it's unwise to make rash decisions based on a weak condition. He accepted the wrong advice because he was fragile and fearful, because he was forgetful. But I want you to notice where this advice came from in verse number 3. The Bible says, from the princes of the children of Ammon. And he also said that it came from those princes and the children, his kinfolk. That's what he's saying. Some of the worst advice you'll ever get is from your kinfolk. Oh, yeah. Surprise. Go back to Job. Where the worst advice he got? From his wife. Yeah. How much closer can you get to anyone but to your spouse? Job cursed God and died. Just be done with it. Worst advice he could have got. Thank God he didn't listen to it. But there's a lot that does. We'd be careful not to listen, take heed to that wrong advice. It's going to come from family. And I don't say family's biased anyway. I'm biased toward my girls. And you're biased towards your family. And you need to just step back and let God and that individual work things out. I'm here to tell you, we've got a lot of pressures on our youngins. Hey, you need to go to college. You need to get this degree. If it ain't God's will for your life, you'll mess up in college. You'll come back destroyed. But if it's God's will and you don't go, the same thing will happen. You've got to get counsel between you and God. Boy, we press them every other way but right, don't we? Because we're biased. Because we're biased. Unsound advice came from the children of Ammon. Came from his kinfolk. Came from those that he's at home with, but also come from those he worked with. He's working with the princes. He's in the palace. He's working with those that are down at the workplace. They had influence because of their high position. They placed doubt on the good deeds of the king. They placed doubt on what God was really doing. They tried to make him feel worthless, said, surely you don't really think he come to honor you, Daddy? Surely you don't think that he come to comfort you? Hanan, who are you? He just soaked all that in like a sponge because he didn't know which way to turn. He'd forgot about God. He'd forgot about the king and Mephibosheth. He'd forgot about all the right things, and he misinterpreted what was going on. Be careful not to misinterpret what God's doing. Several years ago, I met with a pulpit committee. They sit down with me. They asked me several questions. I'll not tell you where it's at. It's not where I'm at now, thank God. And there's some places after you meet, you're glad that you leave, and you hope they never come. It's one of them times. I sit down with them. They said several things. They asked me, they said, what do you believe about divorce and remarriage? I can preach that, can't I? I said, well, if a spouse is dead, I guess you're free to do whatever Lord leads you to do. I said, if they're still alive, you ain't got no grounds. I said, there's no sin in the divorce. The sin is in the remarriage. The sin is in that. I said, you need to work that stuff out. All expressions changed at the table. Evidently, there was something wrong there. They'd been explaining to me, two of them were on the pulpit committee. Divorce, remarried, all spouses still living. Had a man there that said he was called to preach. He said, I'm divorced and remarried. He said, I'm qualified to preach. I said, show me that. He said that over in 1 Timothy. That's for the pastors. That's for those that feed the flock. That doesn't count the evangelist. I looked at him. I said, you believe a woman can preach? He said, oh, no. I said, where do you get that standard from? He said, over there first. I said, can a homosexual stand in a pulpit? He said, oh, no. I said, he can't. Because the Word of God has the same standard across the board. A man, that's the husband of one wife. Oh, listen to me. It's the same qualification all the way across the board. We can't just pick and choose to fit our sinful lifestyle. We need to change our life to fit the Word instead of trying to change the Word to fit our life. Don't misinterpret what the King has said. Hanan took the wrong advice. Done a bad, he's fragile, he's fearful, forgetful. And in that state, he made a frantic decision. Look at verse number 4. Worst thing he could have done upon hearing that wrong advice was to have acted upon it. And that's exactly what he done. Verse 4, wherefore Hanan took David's servants, shaved off one half of their beards, cut off their garment in the middle, even to the buttocks, and sent them away. The most shameful thing that you could have done to these ambassadors from the king was to embarrass them, to belittle them, to expose them to public embarrassment, and that's exactly what he done. The worst thing he could have done is what he done. Can I say tonight that if we was to send ambassadors to another land and they treat them this way, we're just as apt to go to war right now as it was back then. But hey, how you treat the man of God, if you don't treat him with respect, you can be at war with God. Don't shoot the messenger. Amen. Don't shoot me. Just preaching what's in the book. Don't misinterpret what God's doing. He cut off half their beard. Goatees are gone. They're in disgrace and disrespect. He cut off their clothes, their garments. He shamed the messengers of the king. When I first went where we are now, hadn't been there, I don't even think they'd been us. We come and they talked about meeting with us, and a lady come out the back, evidently they'd talked to her to the church, and she come out the back one Sunday. She said, "We're going to chew you up and spit you out." That's what she told me. That's what she told me. And apparently she would have. I didn't have enough wisdom. Still ain't got enough sense to handle something like that. So you know what? She tried to shame the messenger. I'm just the messenger. I'm just carrying this thing. You got a problem with it, talk to God. I'm just carrying the mail. You know what God done? A week later, she's in the hospital. I go to see her. I say, "What's wrong?" "I got Rocky Mountain spotted fever." To this day, over 4 years later, she is still not able to get out of bed and to go anywhere. You say, why? She got bit by a tick. God took care of it. She misinterpreted what God was doing. I was the man for the hour. I was the man that God had placed there. And she misinterpreted what was going on. And as a result, tonight or today, she's still at war with God. Still at war with God. Oh, it's always dangerous to take action against the messenger. But then notice lastly, and I'm done. Hanan took the wrong advice. He took the wrong action. Verse number 6, he's going to war with King David. He's going to take the wrong army. He said in verse number 6, when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians, Bethrahab, and of the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of the king Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. Hanan's going to go to war with the wrong army. He's going to take 20,000 footmen, another 1,000 men, another 12,000 men, which equals 33,000 men that he's hired and that he's going in the battle with. You say he's got the vast numbers. Oh, don't miscount. Don't misinterpret the numbers in the army. Israel might be smaller, but they're serving a God that's a maker and creator of it all. Amen? And don't count numbers this morning. We're the majority because God is here. We're on His side. If we rightly interpret what's going on, then we're in the majority every time. David's going to fight with men of valor. David's going to fight with men of honor. Hanan's going to fight with hirelings. So at the first sign of trouble, verse number 8, half of them's going to run. They're going to leave the battlefield. They're seeing everyone die. They're saying it ain't worth it. I'm not going to die for this cause. Here's your money back. I'm gone. He's going with a crowd that's been bought by money. King David's coming in with a crowd that's been bought by blood. I want to tell you, we're sticking in this thing. We're shoulder to shoulder. We're family. We're going through this thing all the way. We're not backing out. Nowhere to leave the battlefield. Hey, we're going to fight because we're standing on the side of the right army. We're fighting with the king. David and Joab had the Lord with them. Hanan's army had been bought out. But God's army's been bought up. Amen. Blood bought. Give heed to the king's counsel. Don't misinterpret what God is doing or what He's saying. Brother Allen, I'm going to be done. The difference will be war or worship.
Appreciate that, Brother Tim. Bless your heart.